Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos, daf Samach Gimel. Begin 7 lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the new Mishnah. The previous Mishnah spoke about what a woman and a man is allowed to go out with and not allowed to go out with. Now the Mishnah continues discussing regarding what a man is not allowed to go with on Shabbos outside into the Shusar Abim, that will be considered Yitzia, carrying from one domain to another domain. So the Mishnah begins. Lo Yitzia Ish, a man is not allowed to go out with, Loi B'Sayif, not with a sword, V'Loi B'Keshis, not with a bow, V'Loi B'Sris, not with a shield, V'Loi B'Ala, which the Gemara is going to explain exactly what that is, V'Loi B'Rebech, not with a spear. Now obviously all these different things are weapons that are used in wartime. Vim Yatzin, if he goes out on Shabbos carrying these different weapons into Rosh Hashanah, Mechayev Chatas, he's liable for Karban Chatas again, because it's not something that's considered intrinsic to the person, therefore you're carrying something external, which is the Isra Haitzah. No, they're considered adornments for the man that's carrying them, and therefore it's mutim and atar. You're not going to be chayav b'chatas, because just like any other adornments, jewelry, things that are ornaments for the person are not considered haitzah. So to hear also, these things are considered tachshit for the man. The Chum argue and say, no, it's only a disgrace for the person. It's not something that's beautiful of a person. It's a necessary evil. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, v'chitzu charvoisam le'itim, that in the future, when everything will change, that it's not going to be like it is now where people fight. Rather, they're going to beat their swords into plowshares, b'chani nosehem l'mazmeirois, and they're going to take their spears and they're going to turn it into pruning shears. And these are that things are going to change. It's not going to be like it is now. And that's why the Chacham say that it's not a tachshid, because like you see in the future, they're not going to have it, as the Pasuk continues. V'le'isa goya goyel cherev, then never will a nation lift upon to another nation a sword. V'le'ilmudu ay mechama, they won't be learning anymore the tactics of war. And therefore the Chacham argue and say that if it was a tachshid, if it was an ornament for the person, it would be like that even in the future. And you see that in the future, they're going to get rid of their weapons and they're going to be turning into plowshares and they're just going to have peace. And therefore it's not a tachshid. Because if it was, they would keep it even at a time when there's no war. So the Mishnah continues with another item that people are not allowed to go out with on Shabbos in reference to a woman. Biris, regarding a garter, tahira it's tahar, and that is, it's not mekabel tumma. The yoytzim b'Shabbos, and the woman is allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, because she's not going to take it off and show it to other people, because she doesn't want her legs, her thighs to be revealed, and that is the garter is what holds up her stockings. So therefore, it's something that, although a lot of these type of items we learned in previous Mishnayos that a woman is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos, although it's something that she uses for as an ornament, as a tachshit, but this, you're allowed to go out with even midrabbanan, because there's no problem, she's not going to take it off to show it. However, kavolim, regarding leg chains, tameim, they are mekabel tamei, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly why that is. However, the ein yitzmen b'Shabbos, and the Gemara is going to explain why that is different than the garter, that you're not allowed to take with on Shabbos, and that we are concerned that you might come to take it off and show it to others. So now the Gemara explains one of the items in our Mishnah, Maiva Alam. We said all these different weapons that a man is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos. And one of them is Ala. What is Ala? So the Gemara says, Kulfa, it's mace. That's a type of a metal club that has like a round studded ball at its head. And it's a type of a weapon that's used that is included in all those different weapons that you shouldn't go out with on Shabbos, and which there was a machlekes if yichai v'chatas or not. So the Mishnah brought, Rebbe Eliezer Oimer Tachshid Nheinloi, that Rebbe Eliezer says that these items, these weapons, are considered an adornment. It's not carrying. It's intrinsic to the person, just like any other jewelry that is considered something that a person wears, like his clothing. So the Gemara brings a braisa that discusses this machlekes, if it is a tachshir or not. Tanya, we learn the braisa. Amr le Rebbe Eliezer. The Chacham said to Rebbe Eliezer, v'chimeachet de tachshid in hein loy, if it's as you're saying, that weapons are considered an adornment for the man. So why will it eventually be annulled that there won't be any more weapons when Mashiach will come? In other words, we have the pasuk that says that they're going to turn it into plowshares, but if it's an adornment's jewelry, why are you not going to have it even when there's no war? So Amal Hen Lefisha and Tzvichin is pretty simple. Why? Because then they don't need it anymore. Shanem, like it says in the pasuk, Lo Yisa Goyel Goy Cherev, because then no nation will lift up a sword one to the other, and that's why it says they'll turn it into plowshares. However, but for now, it is considered an adornment, and that's why it's always an adornment. It's just that they won't need it anymore. But then the Gemara asks, but if it's like you're saying, just let them keep it even if they don't need it, just as an adornment. It's a beautiful thing. Let them just be carrying swords, and just because it looks nice. However, the Gemara answers that also. It's the same thing like having a lamp in broad daylight. And that is, if you don't need it anymore, it's not beautiful. Rather, it even detracts to have a lamp in broad daylight. It's taking away. However, bizman hazeh, in the current times where there's times of war, so then it's a takshid, it's something that's in the dormant for the person. And this that you're asking in the future why they're not going to have it anymore, because then you don't need it. And since you don't need it, then it's not in the dormant anymore. But today, currently, it is in the dormant. And the Gemara says, Upliga de Shmuel, that this that we said, that Lemoisa Mashiach, when Mashiach is going to come, then there's not going to be any more swords, it's going to be beaten into plowshares, that argues on Shmuel, because Shmuel says that it won't be bought to Lemoisa Mashiach. As the Gemara brings down Shmuel, Ein ben oil mazeh lemoisa Mashiach. There is no difference between what the current state of the world is now and when Mashiach will come, which is really the end of oilam hazeh. El shibit golias bolvad. Only the subjugation of the Jews in the exiles. Shnem, like it says the pasuk in Devarim, kilo yechdal evyun mikav arts, because it won't cease to be any poor people in the midst of the land, which is mashma forever. And that you see that there will be wealthy people and poor people. So obviously all the different nechamas and consolations that all the prophets had prophesied, like it says in Zechariah, below ye, kanani oid, there won't be any more paupers, that it wasn't referring to Yemos HaMashiach, because Yemos HaMashiach is part of this world. And therefore, it says that there will be chadol chayavim, that there won't be any more, that it says that in the Pasuk of Devarim that says that it won't cease anymore. So obviously that's not part of this world. And therefore, that's arguing on Shmuel, because we said that we brought from the Braisa that the Pesukim that says that there won't be any more swords, there won't be any more wars, that's Yemos HaMashiach. Shmuel says that's not true. Yemos HaMashiach is the end of the 6,000 years, the end of this Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is something else. There won't be any more wars. However, Shmuel says that in Yemos HaMashiach, when Mashiach is still going to be here, in this world, there will still be war, there will still be poor people and wealthy people. However, the Gemara does say that the Braisa is Messiah Le Reb Chiya Bar Abba. The Braisa does support Reb Chiya Bar Abba, that he says that Reb Chiya Bar Abba kol hanaviim lo nisnabu el Yemos HaMashiach, that all the prophets, all the great things, all the words of consolation that they said that things are going to be great was only for Yemos HaMashiach. In other words, that's just like the Braisa that says when Mashiach is going to come, that's the pasuk of lo yisa goy al goy cherev, that there's not going to be any more wars, not like Shmuel that said that it won't be any difference. All these great things will be happening in Yemos HaMashiach. Aval olam haba, but regarding olam haba, the world to come, there the pasuk Yeshaya says, Ayin le'rasa, the eye has never beheld Elikim God, Zulasecha besides you. And that is, the eyes of the prophets never had the privilege of seeing what it's going to be like. And therefore, again, he is just like the Bryce that says that we have Olam Hazeh, this world with all the wars and all the bad and all the poor and all the wealthy. Then Yemos HaMashiach, when Mashiach is going to come, is going to be the end of Olam Hazeh, so to speak. There we have Machlekes, if that's going to be the same thing as what we have now, just that we won't be in Gullus, but there's going to be wars and poor and wealthy people. Or that no, whatever the prophet said, all the Nevi'im, whatever they said, that the great things that's going to come, not going to be any more wars, no more poor people, that's Yemos HaMashiach. And then the Olam Haba is going to be the same. And that Shmuel says, no, Shmuel says Yemos HaMashiach is going to be the same as it is now, just Sheba Golias, and all the great things were in Olam Haba, versus the other opinion that says that things are going to be different. I mean, Yemos HaMashiach that say that we never saw Olam Haba. We don't know all the prophecies. All the prophecies are only regarding Yemos HaMashiach, but Olam Haba, only God, only you know. A different version the Gemara brings, Ikadami, others say, Amr Loi Leib Liyazah, said to Reb Liyazah, since you're saying that these different weapons are considered a dormant for the man, so why will it be bottle of Mesa Mashiach? On this version, it's different. He says, no, it's not true. When Mashiach comes, it won't be bottle. And that the Gemara says, that's the same statement as Shmuel, that he says, Mesa Mashiach is the same as now, there's still going to be wars, poor and wealthy people, and therefore, of course, you're going to need weapons when Mashiach comes. That argues on the opinion of Reb Chiya Bar Abba, that he says that no, Yemos HaMashiach, when Mashiach comes, that's when all the prophecies are going to be. And because Olam Haba, no one ever saw and no one ever prophesied about. And therefore, those are the two different versions if he said that there is going to be when Yemos HaMashiach comes to weapons or not. So now the Gemara continues on this theme of the weapons. Omalei Abai L'Ravdimi, V'amri Lo L'Ravavi, and some say that he said it to Ravavi, V'amri Lo Rav Yosef L'Ravdimi, and some say it was Rav Yosef that said it to Ravdimi, V'amri Lo L'Ravavi, and some say they said to Ravavi, V'amri Lo, and some say Abai L'Rav Yosef, that Abai said to Rav Yosef. What he said was, my time in Reb Eliezer, Domitachshin. Like, what is the opinion? Why does he say that these weapons are considered adornments for the person? Why would we say that it's, so to speak, like jewelry for him? The Chassid, like it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Chagor Charbucha Al Yorech, gird your swords on your thighs, Giber, mighty one, hoyt chavadirecha, it's your glory and your splendor. So you see that the sword is considered your glory and your splendor. So you see that's an adornment for the man when he has his weapons. And that's why he considers it a tachshit. And that's why it's not Hitzah on Shabbos. Omli Rav Kan Lamar Bered Rav Huna. But he asked, Hai B'divri Turks, if that pasuk is talking about the words of Torah, which is, you should be careful to be reviewing all your learning, that it should be prepared for you at a time of judgment and time when you're learning, that you should be able to bring proofs like a mighty man that has his sword on his thigh, that he could win in the war, and that's Hoitcha V'Adarecha, that's your splendor and your glory. So what are you saying that it's a reference to the sword? It's a metaphor that we're talking about Divrei Torah, that you should have your sword always on your side, that you can always say, oh, but there's a Gemara there, and there's a Tesis there, and you have what you to say, and that's going to be your glory and your splendor. So Amalei, but he said to him, you're right, that's the message of the Pasuk, and tell him, but Ein Mikra Yetzim De Peshuta, a famous concept that a Pasuk, a verse, does not depart from its plain meaning. And that is, the message is being brought through this medium of the sword on the side, and that's your glory and your splendor. So obviously, that the sword is considered, all these weapons are a takshid for the person. So Amr Ibn Khan said about this when he heard this statement, Karavina bar Tamni Sreshin, when I was 18 years old, and I knew the whole entire Talmud, but I didn't know this concept that a verse is not taken out from its plain meaning up until now. And that is, this is the first time I heard this, and now I understand the statement of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara asks Maika Mashma, what did he want to teach us with this, that he knew everything, whole Shas, but he never knew this concept, that he didn't know the explanation of Rabbi Eliezer's din, that why it is that it's considered takshit. So now the Gemara says a very important concept, the ligmer inish v'hadalisper. A person should first learn everything, first take in, soak it in, and then later he should reason and try to understand the reasoning behind it. That is, first learn all your learnings, all your teachings from your Rebbe, from your teachers, even if you don't understand everything. And then later you try to, so to speak, chew it over to understand, because this was very difficult for Rav Kahana, the din of Rebbe Eliezer. He did not know the reason that to explain it, that it's because Ein Mikra Yetzim De Peshuta, that from that pasuk you see that the sword and all these weapons are considered jewelry, as considered adornment. And in spite of that, he learned the whole entire Shas by the time he was 18, and he was holding on to all that information. In spite of the fact that he had all these questions, he didn't understand, how is it possible that it's considered a takshit when it's a weapon? And that, finally, he heard that because Ein Mikra Yetzim De Peshuta, that the simple meaning of the verse also has validity, and that is, it's going to be considered a takshit. And that's why he said this statement, to say that first learn, even if you don't understand it, and then later on, you'll be able to chew it over and to be able to reasoning, understand all the importance of the actual learning. Now the Gemara continues regarding this pasuk of Tehillim that we spoke about. So from that capital, which speaks about the concept of Tamid HaChacham. So the Gemara brings a siman and mnemonic, Zaris, which literally means foreign, but it's the Zayin, Resh, and Vav, and Saf, refers to different concepts brought in the following Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amr b'Yimri, Amr b'Laza, Shnei Tamid HaChacham HaMachadin Zel Zeh B'Halacha. That the Gemara is going to bring four different versions of the conduct between two Tamid HaChacham who are learning together. So the first version is, when you have two Tamid HaChacham, two Talmudic scholars, that sharpen each other in Halacha. That is, that one asks, one responds, but not to overpower the other, rather just to sharpen each other in Halacha, they want to achieve the goal together. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzlich Lem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that they should be successful. Shneimer, like it says in the Pasuk, after the one we had brought in the previous Gemara, which is talking about Torah, as we said before, Char B'Chal Yorech, that's a reference to someone that's learning Torah, it says, V'hadarcha, and with your splendor, Tzlach, you'll succeed. So the Gemara says, Al Tikri V'hadarcha, don't read it with your splendor, Ela V'chadetcha, sometimes a Dalet could be interchanged with a Reish, so it's a reference to, rather, your sharpening is what makes you successful. And that's the concept we say when you have two milchamim that are sharpening each other in Halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it that they'll be successful. And not only that they'll be successful, that they're elevated to greatness. And then, like it says over there in the Pasuk, the next words, it's Salach, that you'll succeed, Rechav, and that you'll ride, which is always a reference to riding on top of something, that it's a sign of greatness. So Yochel Afilah Shalosh Maya, I would think that when these two are sharpening each other, even if they're doing it for ulterior motives, not for the importance and for the understanding of Talmud Torah, Talmud Leime, that's where the Pasuk there continues and says, Al-Dvar Emes, for the sake of truth. But then Yochalim Hegis Daita, you would think the same would apply even if he's arrogant in his learning. Talmud Leime, so the Pasuk continues, V'anvat Tzedek, with righteous humility. So then, V'im Oysin Kein, then if you do, you have all these attributes, all these proper midos in how you're learning and how you're conducting each other with your learning together. then zeichin l'Torah shenit b'yamin. Then you merit to Torah, which is given it with the right hand, so to speak, of Hashem. Shneimer, like it says in the pasuk, it continues v'sarcha neiroos yiminecha, that Hashem will teach you awesome things of His right hand, which is a reference to Torah, which is given in the yamin. Now the Gemara gives a different interpretation in that last part of the verse. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kamer, he zeichin l'dvarim shenemer b'minish al Torah, that he merits to words which were given with the right hand of the Torah. What does that mean? The Amar Rav Bar Rav Shila, the Amar Ilan, some say Amar Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Amar Rav Sheshes. Ma'idich Siv, what's the understanding of the pasuk that says, Oyrech Yom b'mina, that there will be length of days in her right hand, in reference to Torah. B'smoy lo ishev v'chavar, and the left hand of Torah, you get wealth and honor. What does that mean? What does it mean? That in the right hand of Torah, you have length of days, but you don't get wealth and honor? It doesn't make sense. Rather, it should be to the contrary, that if you're getting a length of days, which is, so to speak, a greater thing, definitely you're going to get wealth and honor by learning Torah if you have it with the right hand. Rather, the Gemara gives the following interpretation. What does it mean, bimina and bismayla, with its right and with its left? To those that conduct themselves in their learning, that in their right hand of Torah, so to speak, that they search for the understanding and all the different minutiae of the understanding of the learning and sifting through it like his right hand, which is the one that's more efficient in doing work because it's a stronger hand, then you get length of days, and definitely you get wealth and honor for the learning that you're doing, that's so to speak a lower level than length of days, which is so to speak getting everything out of your life, and wealth and honor is more external than that. But to those that, so to speak, they use their left hand for learning, that is that they don't toil with all their might as it would be with the right hand in their learning, then they get wealth and honor, but then they don't get length of days. And that's what the pasuk was saying, that they're going to get what comes from the right hand of Torah, which is that when they use all their energy and they're doing it in the proper way, then they get not only wealth and honor, but even length of days, oyich yom b'mina. So now the Gemara continues on this concept of Talmud Torah, and from the same Amori Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amori B'Shem B'Lakish, Shnei Talmidei Chacham Hanoichin Zel Zeh B'Halacha. A different version. When you have two Talmidei Chacham that are pleasant one to the other in their learning of Torah, that is, they have a discussion that's pleasant, and that they're toiling and learning so that they can learn one from the other. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makshiv Lehem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes heed to them, and He listens to them. Shnei, like it says in Pasuk in Malachi, Oz nidbru yirei Hashem begoyim. Then they will talk, those who fear Hashem. And the pasuk continues over there and says, "Vayakshav Hashem v'yishma Hashem will take heed, and He will listen to them." So the drasha is as follows: Ein dibur ela nachas. The word dibur that they're speaking, it connotes pleasantness. How do you see that? Shanem, like it says in the pasuk, "Yadber am tachtenu," that Hashem will humble the nations under us. And that is all type of humility is with a certain pleasantness. A person that is humble, he's a person that, so to speak, is not arrogant. And therefore, you see that ad yadber, the word dibur, also connotes humbleness, that it will humble nations under us. So you see that when us nidbur, you Hashem, that they will speak, but it means with humility, with pleasantness, then the pasuk says, vayakshav Hashem v'yishma, then Hashem will take heed and listen to them. So then the Gemara continues on that pasuk, which says, My ulachishu Ishmael, what does the pasuk mean? And for those who ponder His name, so Amr ba'ami afilachishiv lasas mitzvah. That even if someone thought to do a mitzvah, that's ulachishu Ishmael, then nenas v'liyasa, but it was against his will. He had no choice, but he wasn't able to do it. Something happened. Ma'alo labakasav kilo asam. The pasuk considers that person as if he actually did it, and that's even for those ulachishu Ishmael. Even if they just pondered, they just thought about it, they get the same merit as if they actually did it. So the Gemara continues with those that are mevakshim, that really desire to do the mitzvahs, as we see over here, for those that are desiring it, l'cheish v'shmai. Amar b'chinna bar idi, kala oisa mitzvah k'mamar, whoever does a mitzvah to the T, so to speak, as it's written, ein mevasar noisei besuris rois. So they don't inform him of any evil tidings, nothing, he doesn't get any bad news. Shneim, like it says in Pasuk in Kehelis, shoyimim mitzvah, someone that guards the mitzvah, which is the highest level of, he makes sure that it's exactly as it's supposed to be. Lo yedid davara, he won't know any evil things, any evil words. And that is, like we said, they won't be mevaser him b'zuris rois. So the Gemara continues, even more, Amar Basi, v'item et samsir reb chanina, afil HaKadosh Baruch Hu gezik zer. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu already made a decree, hu mevatla, he could nullify it. Shneim, like it says in the pasuk over there, ba'asher dvar melech shilton, that because the word of the king is authority, and who is going to tell him what to do? that Hashem is the king, who can tell him not to undo his gezeiros? But v'samachli, then the pasuk says, it says near there, shoyim mitzvah lo yedid avara, that the one that guards the mitzvah, he won't know any evil tidings. And that the pasuk is so to speak saying that the one who shem the mitzvahs could tell Hashem what to do, and that he could mevatel the gezeiros. The Gemara returns to the different versions of what we said, the conduct of two Talmudic scholars that are learning together. Amar Abba, Amar Mishim ben Lakish. Shnei Talmidim hamakshivim zeh lazeh b'halacha. That they listen to each other in the words of halacha, and that is, they teach each other and they understand from each other, and it's taking the lashon of the pasuk, like we said, of makshivim, that it says that they will listen. So it says Hakadosh Baruch Hu shemei lekan, then Hakadosh Baruch Hu will listen to their voice. Shneim, like it says the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Hayeshevis beganim, those that dwell in the gardens, which is a reference to the Bati Midrashas, to the base medj where they're learning. Chaverim makshivim lekaylich, that the companions that listen to your voice, Hashmi'ini, let me hear it. So the Gemara is interpreting this to say that when you have chaverim makshivim, that when you have companions that are listening one to the other, to them Hashem says that lekoylich hashmi'ini, let me hear your voice. In other words, then I will listen to you and I will answer to you. That's the idea that we said, that when you have that these talmid chacham that are listening one to the other, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to their voice. However, if they don't do this, they don't listen to each other, they're just fighting with each other and learning and trying to overpower and not really trying to grow together. So that causes the Shechin, the Divine Presence, to remove itself from Klai Yisrael. Shanam, like the Pasuk continues over there, which the following Pasuk says, Barach doidi, flee my beloved, udemei, and be like, v'gurme, like it says in the Pasuk, like letzvi, le'ofi, like the deer. In other words, run away. And that's the Shechin saying, I got to get out of here, that these people are not learning Torah as it's supposed to be learned. So now we had three different versions up until now. We had when the two Talmudic scholars are mechaden zelazeh, they sharpen each other in learning. We had noichen zelazeh, that they're pleasant one to the other. We had the third version was makshivim zelazeh, that they listen one to the other. Now we come to the fourth and final version. Amar b'abba, amar b'shem b'lokish. Shnei tamilacham hamadgilim zelazeh b'alacham. That they gather each other in halacha, in learning. That is, they gather one the other and they say, come, let's learn, let's understand between the two of us, since we don't have a Rebbe, a master, a teacher to teach us, let's learn together. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ayavan, Hashem loves those people. So now, like it says, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, V'digloi alai ahava, that his banner is upon me, it's a banner of love. And that you see that the word digl, which means to also means to gather, is a sign of Hashem's ahava, Hashem's love, that is those that gather each other to learn, Hashem loves them. However, Amar Rava, Rava qualifies this with two qualifications, that this, that you could have two, so to speak, regular people without a Rebbe teaching them, but one, as long as they understand the basic features of the subject that they're learning, that they know the roots of what they're learning, that they learned a little bit from their master, from their teacher, from their Rebbe. And the second one is, that's only if there is no Rebbe, there is no teacher in the place where they're learning to learn from them. Then, if there's no Rebbe and they know a little bit, then they can learn together, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them. So the Gemara continues with the same Amora, with different statements of Agadic teachings. Amar Abba, Amar B'Shim Ben Lakish. Godol halmalva yisum noisit stakam. Greater is the one that lends money than from the one that gives charity, because then the poor person is not embarrassed, because you're giving me a loan, I'll pay you back. Versus tzedakah, he feels it's a handout. But even greater, umatul bakis yisum akulam. Someone that puts money in the wallet is greater than all of them. And that is, he gives money or merchandise to the poor person to, so to speak, make a profit, like a partnership. And then they split the profits. So that's even greater than a loan, because it's, so to speak, we're business partners together. That's the greatest. That's because nobody wants a handout. No one wants to feel like you're doing him a favor. And that's not because we're business partners. So the Gemara continues with the same Amoyer, Omer Baba, Omer B'Shem B'Lakish. If Tamachochem Noikim, if a Talmudic scholar takes revenge, the Noiter, and he bears a grudge, Kenochesh, who is like a serpent, he's a very difficult person to be around. Doesn't make a difference. Chagrei Amasnecha. Gird him to your loins, which basically means to say attach yourself to him, because ultimately you're going to have pleasure from his teaching, from his learning, you're going to grow from him because he's a Talmid Chacham. However, in the reverse, if there's an ignoramus, that's a pious person, someone that always conducts himself properly, but he doesn't know the words of Torah, don't live in his neighborhood. Because he doesn't know all the different b'dikduke mitzvahs. He doesn't know all the different fine points of the law, and therefore his piety is not complete. And you're going to learn from him, and he doesn't really know the divine way. He doesn't really know what's right and what's wrong. And therefore, although he wants to be good, better be with the Talmid Chacham, that's a difficult person, than the Amar Oretz, that's a chassid. So the Gemara continues with the same Amar. Amr of Kahano, Amr of Shim Belakish, Vamrila, and some say Amr of Asi, Amr of Shim Belakish, Vamrila, and some say Amr of Abba, Amr of Shim Belakish, call him a godly kill of Rabbi Tech Basi. Whoever raises an evil dog, a bad dog in this house, then Moinea Chesed Mitech Basi, he prevents kindness from his house, because then he doesn't let the poor come to his house because they're afraid of the dog. Shanem, like it says in Pasuk in Eiv, Lamas, which is a reference to a dog, as the Gemara is going to explain, which literally means that to withhold. We continue on to Amid Beis. If someone has a dog in his house, then Mireyu Chesed, then he prevents kindness from his house. And that is, although it doesn't say to prevent, but that's self-understood, because every word that starts with a mem, it means to say a taking. Like it says in Shema Yislam Amid Beis, V'ikach Meyadim, he took from their hand. Or like in Tehillim, Avdu Goyim Me'artzei, that the nations will be lost from their land. That is, so it says, Lamas, someone that has a dog, Me're'eyu Chesed, from his friend, he will be losing that Chesed, that kindness in his house. So he's taking away. That's always the Mem, means from. As the Gemara explains, so came Balash and Yivan is currently Kelev Lamas, because in Greek they call a dog Lamas, and as we see many times, all the different languages really are derived from Lashon HaKodesh, and the Gemara many times, like Taitafis regarding Tefillin, we use different languages to show the true explanation of the Pasuk itself. So Lamas, someone that has a dog, is Mir'eyu Chesed, he's preventing kindness from his house, that is, he won't be able to give to the poor people that come to his house. Moreover, the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, Af Porik Mimenu Yerushalayim, he's even casting off from himself the fear of heaven. Shnema, as the pasuk over there ends, the Yerushaka Yazav, that the fear of God he abandons. And that is, it's a bad thing to have these things in his house, an evil dog, as the Gemara brings a story about the dangers that can happen from having such a dog in one house. Hahi Itza de Ailelahu Beisalamefer, there was this woman that went into a certain house to go ahead and bake bread. And that's because the owner lent out his oven, he let people use it. Navach Bakalba, so a dog barked at her, is Akir Vlada, and the fetus uprooted, in other words, that it wasn't connected anymore to the umbilical cord. Amala Mardabesa, but the owner of the house said to her, without knowing, he heard the dog barking and he saw she got afraid, he said, Loitutchili, don't be afraid. The Shkili Nive, because its fangs, the teeth that it has, was taken out already. The Shkilin Tufra, and its claws were taken away, so therefore there's nothing, no harm that's going to come from this dog. Amalei, she said to him, Shkuli Tivusach, your gratitude could be taken, v'shadya achizri, and it could be thrown on to the thorns. And that is kvar nod vlad. The fetus has already been dislodged. It's already too late. I lost the child. And therefore the Gemara says it's not good to have these types of things, these bad dogs in one's house. It's not a Jewish thing. So the Gemara brings Amrav, and the Gemara brings a Gemara now, which we'll bring again from Rish Lakish at the end of it. Amrav Huna, Rav Huna says, Maidachsev, what's the understanding of the pasuk in Keheles? Smach bocho b'yaldusach. Rejoice, young man, in your childhood. V'tivcha libcha b'mei bachresecha. And may your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. V'halich b'derech libcha, and go in the ways of your heart. U'v'mari enecha, and in the sight of your eyes. But v'da, you should know, kal kol eilu yiv'yachor elikim b'mishmat. Now, for all these things, God will bring you in judgment. So what is the understanding of this pasuk? So the Gemara has two interpretations. Rav Huna says, ad kan divrei yetzahara, that up until the words of Adaki al-Kalayla, that you should know that whatever you're going to do is going to, God's going to bring you in judgment, are the words of the evil inclination. That is, be happy, you know, live today, be merry because tomorrow you're going to die, let your heart cheer you, enjoy the youth, enjoy the good times. That's the Yitzhar talking. Mikam ve'elech the Yitzhar talking, but from there on, the end of the pasuk is the words of the good inclination. Enjoy yourself, but know that there's a price to pay for everything you're going to do. Rish Lakish on Rish Lakish gives a different interpretation. He says, Ad kan ledivri Torah, the first half of the pasuk is talking about the words of Torah. And that is saying, you should rejoice in your words of learning Torah, that's b'yal d'secha. Then you should learn from simcha and tuv leva, from a good heart, that's b'charasecha, that's when you get a little bit older, when you're young bacher. And then it says that you should go in the ways of your heart, that's to understand the words of Torah that you learned in your heart, that's according to Ra'is Enech, according to the sight of your eyes, about how you can understand the words of Torah. From there on is a reference to good deeds, that is when it says, V'daki al-Kaleila, that you should know for that, for all these things, in other words, for all the things that you learned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately bring you to judgment if you're not going to be Mekayim them. And that is as the famous bracha that we say that you should be zeicher, that you should megal the Torah, the chuppah, ma'asim tayvim, that Torah comes first comes learning, then chuppah, then it gets married, and then ma'asim tayvim, that you have to fulfill all the things that you learned. When you finally get married, you can become the ma'asim tayvim with your bnei bayis, with your mishpacha. So now the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah that says, Biris, regarding this garter belt, Tahira, it's Tarig, it's not susceptible to Tumah, but it's, and it's mutter to go out with it on Shabbos. So the Gemara explains exactly what is this Biris. Amar Yehuda, Biris, Zuet Sadim. That's a reference to an armband. It's a band that's worn on the arm. Masar Yehuda, Reis, as from our Mishnah. We said Biris Tahira. This Biris is Tar, it's not susceptible to Tumah. The Yehuda, Beba Shabbos, you can go out with it on Shabbos. There's no problem about carrying it. However, the Ilu Etzada Temeyehi, this Etzada, the armband, is Mekabel Tumah. As it says, the Pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, when it was told about the Maisa when they took all the spoils of war from Midian, it says, Etzada Vitzamid, Etzada is the armband, and it says afterwards that all the vessels that they took, Tischatu Atem Meshavichim, that you should have to purify it. And therefore we see that the Etzada, the armband, is Mekabel Tumah. So obviously, Biris, which our Mishnah says is not Mekabel Tumah, is not Etzada, it's not an armband. So the Gemara says, right, no, Hochikam, this is what we meant to say. Biris Taches Etzada Oimedes. That the Biris stands in place of the Tzada. In other words, the Tzada, which is an arm, which is a band on the arm, the Biris stands in place of that by the thighs. It's the same thing that the Tzada does on the arm that this Biris does by the thigh. That is, it holds up the stockings by the thighs, that it shouldn't fall and that her thighs should be visible. And therefore, the two halachas. Therefore, it's Tahar, because it's not for any beauty, and it's not considered a vessel that's used by the person. Rather, it's a kli that's meshamish a kli. It's a vessel, so to speak, that holds up a vessel, but which are the stockings, and therefore it's similar to the halacha of tabas hakelim, the rings of the vessels, which we said in the previous parak, that the tahir is not considered tashmish for the person, rather it's considered tashmish for kelim, and the rings of the kelim are not makabel tumah. So therefore, these biris, since it's a garter belt for the stockings, therefore it's tahir. And also it's related to the second halacha that you could go out with them on Shabbos because it's necessary for clothing, for wearing. It holds up the stockings and you're allowed to wear clothing on Shabbos. And we're also not concerned that you're going to take it off and show your friends that a lot of the concerns of the ornaments that women wear that we say that Medabonda can't wear it because she's not going to take off the garter belt because she doesn't want her thighs to be visible. And if she takes it off, her stockings might fall down and therefore we're not concerned that she's going to take it off and show her friends. So now the Gemara continues discussing these two items of the Mishnah, of the garter belt and the next item of Kavalim, which is mentioned in the Mishnah. Yosef Ravin Rav Huna Kamid Rav Yirmiyah. You had Rav Ravin Rav Huna, they were sitting in front of Yirmiyah. The Yosef Rav Yirmiyah became an amnim, and Yirmiyah was sitting and he was dozing off a little. The Yosef Ravin became a Ravin, was sitting and he said the following halacha. He said, Biris Ba'achas, when it says these two items of Biris and Kavalim, what are these items that the women wear? So Biris is on one foot, that it's covered, that it's a belt on one thigh. Kavalim b'shtayim, and the kavalim is the same thing. It's just on when it's on two feet, two thighs. Some Rav Huna said to him, no, it's not true. Eilu ve'eilu b'shtayim, both of them are belts that are on the stockings on both feet. However, umatil and shalshelis b'neim, that if you put on chains that connect between the two belts on the thighs, then nasu kavalim, and then it turns into kavalim, and therefore Kavalim and Biris are really the same thing. They're both belts on the thighs. When you attach a chain between the two belts, that becomes Kavalim. But then Ravin asked Rav Huna, "V'shashelah shabay mishavi leimona? Do the chains then turn it into a keli?" Because we learned that Kavalim are makabel tumah versus Biris, our Mishnah says, is tar, is not makabel tumah. So now we have the same type of a belt. And now just because you're attaching a chain, it makes it, so to speak, into a keli because now it becomes susceptible to tumah, which is only by keli. How is that possible? Why did the chain makes it into a keli, but the belt itself is not? It's still the same, so to speak, tashmish for the keli. It's only a like a tabas for the keli, which is not makabel tumah. Why do the chains make it any different? So he says, v'chite mekri b'shmul b'nachmeni. And if you're going to say like b'shmul b'nachmeni, that the chain is going to turn it into a keli, the amar b'shmul b'nachmeni b'b yechnan, that he said, minayin l'mashmiya kol b'klei matzcheh shu tamim. Where do you know that something that makes noise by a metal vessel, that makes it something that's susceptible to tumah, that turns it, so to speak, into a keli because now it can make noise and that's a utensil that you could do. It's like an instrument. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, called davar ashayove be'esh, that anything that goes and it's used in fire has to be purified in fire. So the diuk is when it says called davar, I feel a dibur b'mashma, that it's including even, so to speak, noise. And therefore, any instrument, although it wasn't a keli tilna, but if you could use it to make noise, then it's going to mekabel tumah. And therefore, the same thing maybe you want to say would include the chains, because the chains also makes noise as she walks. But that's not true. Because bishlema hasim kabayle lekala there, you need it for noise. The kavod maisa, and it does an action. It's something that you're usable for making an instrument to make noise. But hocha my maisa kavod, what action, what are we gaining? Just the fact that it makes noise is not a maila. I won't make it into a keli. What type of action, what type of positive attribute does it have that it's that we're saying that the chain itself is considered significant to turn it into a new kli that could be mekabotum? And that he answered, no, it's not true. Hocha nami kavod maisa. Here the chains do accomplish a goal. And therefore, the fact that it makes noise and it does an action, it's oven maisa, it accomplishes a goal, it's going to be mekabel tuma. What do the chains accomplish? There was one family in Yerushalayim. They had very large steps, strides that they took when they walked. And the hymenal membranes would fall out. That's the basulum that the girl has. And that's not good because they're supposed to have it until they get married. Aslan kvam, so they made for them these belts that were around their thighs. The hitilu shalshals benen, and they attached this chain between them. Shloyib saying gasus, that their steps should not be so large because now they can't take such long steps. V'lohoyib besulah saying noishes, and then the besulim didn't fall out anymore, and therefore that's how we see that the shalshalas, the chain, turns it into a keli because it accomplished that goal of not having their besulim fall out. And therefore, we understand both halachas that our Mishnah tells us regarding the kvalim. That is, these chains are a tashmish for the person. It's a usage that the person uses. And therefore, it's not like a, so to speak, a tashmish, something that's subsidiary to a keli that's not makabel tumah. So therefore, as our Mishnah said, the kvalim are makabel tumah, because it's something that's usable for the person. It's not just secondary to the keli, it's secondary to the person. And now the psulim don't fall out. And also, now that's why the kvalim, we said, you're not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. Because we're concerned that maybe you might take off the chain and show it to your friend because they were made out of gold. And therefore, when she takes off her chain, her stockings are not going to fall out because you still have the other element, the beerus, the actual band that's still there holding up the stockings. And therefore, now you could take off the chain and nothing's going to happen. That's why we say that you cannot go out with in Shabbos, in contrast to the beerus, which is tahar because it doesn't have the chain. And you could go out with it on Shabbos because you're not going to take off the band because then the stockings might fall down. Versus here where the chain you might take off because it's made out of gold and you're going to show your friends and you might come to carry it for Amos and Shas Rabim. That's why you're not allowed to go out with the Kabbalim on Shabbos. So then the Gemara concludes the incident. Issa Bahur Rabbi Yirmiyah then woke up from his dozing. Amalahui said to them, Yisha, well said. And that's what Rabbi Yechanan said. He had heard the same statement, the same interpretation from Rabbi Yechanan. So the Gemara says, Ki asra avdim Rabbi Yechanan, another halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, regarding the halachas of Tuma, minayin la'arig kol shehu shu tami. How do you know that something that's woven, that any size, even the most minute amount, is mekabel Tuma? Mitzitz, you know this from the headplate that the Kohen Gadol would wear, which was very small, and it's included with the different tachshitim, the different adornments that the Kohen would wear. And therefore you see that although it's very small, it's makabel tumah. But then Amalei Abaye, Vitzitz Aragu, was the headplate that the Kohen wore something that was woven, that you're showing that whatever is woven is makabel tumah, no matter how small it is? But Tan, we learned that Brayis is not like that. We learned Tzitz was kemintashelzah. It was like a plate of gold. The Reichiv Shteatz boys, and it was 2 finger breadths wide. Umukuv mi'oiz and loizen encircled the forehead from one ear to the other. V'chosav alav bebei shtidin, and it was written on it in 2 lines, Yodhei Lamala. It was written Hashem's name on the top line, the Kodesh Lamed Lamata, and Kodesh La on the bottom line. And that is, they wanted to write the words Kodesh La Hashem. But they wrote the Hashem, the whole name, on the top line, and the Kodesh La, which is the word, the letter Lamed, which is the beginning of the word La Hashem, on the bottom line. And the reason for that was that they shouldn't have the words Kodesh Lamed, any words, any letters before Hashem's name. And that's why they had it on 2 different lines, to have Hashem's name, so to speak, first on the top line. However, he argues and he says, it's not true, that's not how it was. It wasn't Hashem's name on the top and Kodesh La on the bottom. I saw the tzitz in the city of Rome, as the Gemara in Me'ilah Daf Yud Zayin explains, that he was able to go into the Eitzer, the treasure house of the king, to take whatever he wants, with the story of Ben Talmiyon. And he says, I went in and I saw a curse of Kodesh Lashem Mishidachas. It was written Kodesh Lashem on 1 line. And it's not true that Hashem's name was on the top line and Kodesh La on the bottom line. And therefore, Abai told him, what are you talking about? We see from this price, everybody agrees that it was a plate of gold and that it wasn't woven. So therefore, you can't bring the tzitz as a source that whatever size it's woven, even very small, that's makabel tumah. And therefore, the Gemara brings that Kisalik Rav Dimi L'Narda, when Rav Dimi went up to Narda, and that is, he retracted from what he said, that the tzitz was woven, rather as Abai proved to him that it was made out of gold. So shalach lehu, so he sent back to them, dvarm shemarti lechem toys hamiyodi. The words that I told you was a mistake. It's not true. You don't know the source for something woven, no matter how small it is, from the tzitz. Rather, barim kach omer shem yechen. This is how they said it in the name of Yechenam. Minay letach should call shurutami. How do you know that a dormant, that a jewelry piece, something that's an ornament, no matter how small it is, that it's makabel tuma? That you know mitzitz. That you know from the head plate, because that's what it was. That was one of the ornaments of the kain, and it was very small, and it was makabel tuma. However, minayin la'ori kol shur shutame, and where do you know the source for something that's woven, no matter how small it is, that it's makabel tuma? That you know from a different source, mi oy beged. It says by the parasha of shrotzim, by the small, crawly, creepy things that are metame, it says, if it touches, oy beged oy or, whether a garment or whether hide. So the word oy, or, is a riboy, is something, is inclusive. And that's telling you that something that's woven is, no matter how small it is, it's makabel tuma. So related to this topic, the Gemara brings a brisa, tanrabban, ori kol shur tame. Something that's woven, even the most smallest amount, is makabel tuma. And similarly, betach should kol shur tame. Ornament, no matter how small it is makabel tuma. Orig v'tach should kol shur tame. And something that's also woven and an ornament, no matter how small it is, also makabel tuma. That's as if it's half woven and half an ornament that's not woven, even if it's very small, it's going to makabel tuma. However, musiv sak ala beged. But there's something that a sackcloth has over a garment. And this thing that should tummy mishum arik, that the sackcloth becomes tummy because of a woven thing, which is a contrast to a garment. So now the Gemara brings the sources for these halachas. That Amar Rava, arik kol shehu tummy me'oy beged. We didn't know something that's woven, even the most minute amount that's makabel tuma. That's from, as we said, from oy beged by the parasha of Shratzen. Tachshut kol shehu tummy mitzitz. That an ornament, even the most smallest amount, is makabel tuma. That you know from the tzitz, which was very small and was considered kli to makabel tuma. Org v'tachshid kol shur tami. Where do you know that something that's half woven and half an ornament, that also, even if it's very small, it's makabel tuma? That you know mikol clay maisa, from every fashion vessel, which was by the parasha of the tuma of Midian, that we see that it includes all clay maisa, that it, no matter what it's made of, even how small it is. But however, omali ahum rabban l'rava, ahu b'midyan ksiv. That pasig is written by the parish of Midian with spoils of war. And that was talking about, the reason why there had to be metar those things was because there was something called tumas mes, because of all the dead corpses that were there because of the war. And therefore you can't learn out a sheretz from a mes, because a mes is more chomer in its tumah, that it's metame for 7 days, versus by a sheretz is only overnight. And therefore, how could you learn this idea of culture, that no matter how small it is, by every kli, even if it's half woven and half an ornament, regarding the tumah of sheretz, maybe it's only by the tumah of tumas mes. How could you know, including for the tumah of sheretz, which is a lower level tumah, to say that it's, even if it's very small, half woven, half ornament, that's also going to be makabel tumah? Amalei, on that he says, Gamar, we continue on top of Samach Amad Alf, Kli Mahasim, that we learn out, it says the word Kli by the Pasha Midden as we brought that Pasik. And it also says the word Kli by Shratzim, like it says, Kol Kli Ashiyasim Alacha, and therefore we learn Kli to say, just like there it says vessel, here it says vessel, and therefore there, no matter how small it is, and it's half woven, half ornaments, Makamotoma here also. However, from the Pasik by Shratzim itself, which it also says Kol Kli, why can you learn that from the Shratzim itself? Why do you have to learn a Kli from Midden? Because there it says Ashiyasim Alacha, that will do work. And that would not include a tachshid, that wouldn't include an ornament, and therefore we wouldn't know this halacha, that if it's half ornament, that it's makabel tuma, no matter how small. That's why I have to learn shratzim from the parasha of Midian by the Tomei Meis, to say that even if it's orig v'tachshid kolshu, no matter how small it is, it's going to makabel tuma.